Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast, presents episode 522, Return from Holidays, recorded live on January 7th, 2016. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I'm your host, Dust Storm.
And I'm your other host, Biowolf.
And I'm Godzilla T.
And welcome to 2016. It's been a couple weeks since we've been taken off for the podcast, and we're back in the hot seats without Haas today, unfortunately. But 2016 is here. Lots of promising Halo stuff to come along this year as well. And I think for most of us, we had a pretty good holiday season. Hope you guys had a great time off. I know we really enjoyed having 2 weeks off for the podcast. It's been really nice for me. I don't know about you guys, but it's been nice to kind of sit back, relax a little bit, spend some time with the family, get some good Halo in, and all around just pretty good. So I think we're just going to dive right into things today, kind of keep this one a little short as we pick stuff back up. And news has been pretty quiet over the last couple of weeks because of the holidays. There hasn't been much Halo news going on, so I think for the most part, we had the December update. It's been pretty quiet since then, but over that time, 343 has actually moved studio. So they are no longer in Kirkland, which is where they've been developing the game since Halo 2, Halo 3 timeframe. And now they have a new office, which they'll be showing off the next time they stream for the January update, which we don't have really much more information yet either, except from the little tease that we got from the Cartographer's Gift stream they did back in early December. But lots of cool stuff is expected to come along in the next few months with Halo. We're going to get some more maps, some more game modes, lots of cool new things in Halo 5, probably new Forge features, new Machinima features, a whole bunch of different things to expect. So other than 343 moving studios, the only other big thing that I really got over the holiday season, this actually just happened either yesterday or today, and it's kind of relevant, not too relevant to Halo, but MLG just got bought out by Activision Blizzard either yesterday or today for $46 million.
Yeah, that's a lot of money.
Yeah.
I mean, think about where MLG started, and to be sold for millions of dollars, it's unreal.
Yeah.
But it's kind of interesting to see that Activision Blizzard is buying out MLG to make them their like primary esports site. I mean, it makes sense with Call of Duty, and it makes sense with what's the Blizzard MMO?
World of Warcraft.
But they don't do World of Warcraft tournaments, do they?
No, I don't think so.
No,
and they used to do StarCraft. Some of the PvP stuff. StarCraft, there you go. That's what it is. So this is going to be interesting because MLG right now is the organization that is doing the North America portion of the Halo World Championship. So I'm thinking that after this championship, we're probably not going to see any more ties with MLG. Granted, we haven't seen any MLG ties since Halo 4. We had the first Halo 4 Pro tournament the weekend before Halo 4 launched. And that was the last that we saw Halo get involved with MLG at all.
And so, that totally surprised me when that happened.
It didn't surprise too many people, especially with how the game was received afterwards. It wasn't that surprising.
No, it was surprising to me that MLG hosted it.
Oh, well, they hosted Halo 3 and Reach was...
Yeah, but by then they'd already dropped Halo out of the regular rotation.
Right. So this is kind of, I guess, the one last hoorah for Halo being hosted by MLG. So they got bought out by Activision Blizzard. They're going to be focusing primarily on that. And I watched The Know, and there's possible rumors that they're trying to dissolve MLG into them and kind of get rid of the MLG brand and just basically use the internals of MLG to make their esports platform. But that's just a rumor.
Wouldn't surprise me.
It's sad, though, because you got to look at it like this, too. MLG is something that's been around for a long time, and it's an a name that everyone knows. So to see that go away is going to kind of suck.
But there's lots of different organizations out there now that are doing esports. You just look at ESL, MLG is obviously still there, and there's a few other leagues out there that are focusing on different games, because esports, for the most part, there's a lot of different games, and like taking MLG, for example, they only focus on certain games. ESL is a lot more open in certain areas to some other games, and you have a bunch of different other, like, I think Valve does stuff for Team Fortress 2, if you listen to Crit's Cast, and there's other organizations out there that do esports like tournaments. So I think it seems like this has been the trend over the past, I don't know, I want to say 5 years or so, and I'm not any kind of esports expert to really make a quantifiable statement, but I know from the Halo perspective, we really didn't see many smaller organizations really pick up esports and compete with MLG until, I want to say, like 5-6 years ago or so. And during that time frame, we've seen a lot more of these smaller organizations. So you have the IG series, PLG, or PGL, sorry, ESL. So you're starting to see other organizations, other esports organizations, pick up and actually gain momentum for other games and have some pretty sizable prize money behind them. So I think it's just the tides are changing and we're starting to see more organizations pop up to hold esports. And I think there's going to be a flux back to, it won't be just one key holder like MLG was for the longest time. I think it's going to be several key big key holders for competitive esports. So ESL will be one still. MLG will be one just because Activision Blizzard have so many titles that are competitive right now. You have League of Legends. You have Dota, which is Valve, and a few other platforms that kind of have these bigger title games. So you're going to have these different organizations that are going to be focused on specific games, and that'll be the foundations for those esports. But that's just my opinion. And Cool Arif in the chat says, doesn't esports not make much money? And for the time being, it's definitely not a livable wage, in my opinion. It's something that it's nice on the side, but you're usually, like, I know for a lot of Halo players, it was something where there people were going to school and then doing Halo in their free time, or they're working and doing Halo. It's definitely not something right now that's a livable wage, but it could be something that down the road, give another maybe 10 years or so. I mean, look at the Call of Duty tournament. What was it, like 2 years ago, that was hosted by Xbox? And that was, I think, $1 million at the time. And now look at the Halo World Championship Series. It's a $2 million prize pool. So it's something that, and I mean, there's some other ones too. CSGO is massive. I think CSGO and then League are probably the biggest games out there. And those are only, like, if you're at the top of the top for those games, that's something that you could live off of. But there's very few where it's like you're playing at any kind of level just below the top, and it's a livable wage. At least that's kind of how the esports market is right now. But that, I can see that changing over the next 5-10 years easily. I think we're going to see a lot more of the current generation that's between the ages of 18 and 35. I think that range, and some of the younger kids, we're going to start to see a little more of a transition from maybe traditional media like TV and sports, and see that being chipped away at by video games and esports. That's just my opinion. I'm not a market analyst when it comes to entertainment, so don't quote me on that. That's just the way I see it.
Well, it is it's a rising sector of entertainment. The streaming aspect of tournaments, or just streaming in general, have become more popular, you know, because, I mean, look at YouTube. They've brought in streaming, and, you know, they're a giant in online video delivery. You know, they've taken the Twitch formula and applied it to their own, in their own way. So it's definitely drawing people's attention. So I can see where you know, stuff like competition and stuff, eventually it could get to the point where, you know, the top will probably tell you that, you know, the top 10 teams could probably actually make a living at it. But it still has a ways to go. For that to work, the prize pool for the individual tournaments is going to have to, you know, the qualifiers and stuff is going to have to climb dramatically. I mean, yeah, having a grand prize for the whole tournament at $2 million, that's all well and good, but you're not going to live a year off that in prize, especially with the sponsorships that a lot of these guys get. You know, the sponsors take most of that money.
Yeah. So there's someone actually mentioned in the chat, Spartan57. Apparently CSGO is getting a league on the Turner Network on TV. So that's the first time I think I've heard esports actually getting on.
Going mainstream?
Yeah. I mean, MLG did stuff with ESPN, but it was highlight stuff. It was never... Well, no, I take that back. Was there... I take that back. I think for maybe a couple years, the Championship Sunday stuff may have been broadcasted on ESPN. I know they did highlights for some of the MLG events, but I hesitate to say they ever did a broadcast of an event on ESPN, but I could be wrong.
I distinctly remember seeing a Halo event from MLG on ESPN. That was the first time I ever heard of MLG was through that. So I did see it once. I don't remember exactly which one it was.
I think that happened for maybe a year or two, and then it was done. I don't know if it was something that was on ESPN 3 or if it was on one of the other bigger ones, like one or two. And I think it only happened for a couple of years where they actually did that. And then I think one of the reasons they stopped doing that was because of the language.
No.
I mean,
gamers don't speak bad language.
We live in a different time now, though, compared to what it was. Like, to be perfectly honest, I mean, like, everyone nowadays is on watching streams or is online on the computer at some point. So anything mainstreams could be a stream nowadays, in my personal opinion.
I mean, yeah, if you have a game that has a big enough following, I think it could be supported in a mainstream media type atmosphere. You know, ESPN, TNT, you know, one of the bigger cable channels. I honestly don't know just how successful it's going to be. It'll be interesting to see if that rumor is true and if it shows up and to see how it goes. But there's going to have to be a lot more interest in it before we get to the point where any video game like Halo or shooters in general will get to that point.
Well, the thing with esports is there's not enough events to make it mainstream. So it'd be a kind of one-off thing, like an X Games type of thing, where you're going to have these events that happen every...
Now the X Games seem like they're on all the time.
And if they do something like that, though, it's going to be something where you have these different... Because at least for right now, video games aren't at a point in esports where it's sustainable to have that many regular events. It can't be something where... Because, like, for the X Games or something, I mean, I thought they were usually, like, once a year or once every other year. And while a lot of the competitors make probably a decent amount of money off of sponsorships and winnings, they're still working. I mean, that's kind of... I think the X Games is kind of a good equivalent to what video games and esports is right now. So I think it definitely could be something mainstream. I think it could get on some of the smaller channels and highlight some of the bigger events. So like Halo World Championship Series, I could see something like that being on ESPN or maybe something that's a little bit smaller. But there's just not enough behind video games as a source of entertainment for who would trying to be consume it from a mass TV subscription perspective. I think that's changing, though.
Yeah, the only thing you would see on broadcast television or cable television, wherever you want to put it, in the regular rotation of stuff, it'd be, you know, the grand finals of some tournament. I think esports would have to get on a whole nother level to become something that they would play, that they would show like they do soccer or baseball or tennis or, you know, things like, the, you know, actual sport, or, you know, physical sports. And it,
right.
You know, to be on that level, I think we're a long ways away from that, but I think we're pretty close to where we'll start. We could start seeing the grand finales of tournaments broadcast on television. I think there's enough draw there that people would watch it, and it would also introduce a lot of new people into it. It, you know, if they come across it, which may even draw even more people in. So
could definitely could, but that's discussion for people that probably know a lot better of what they're talking about
than us. Yeah.
Yeah. But that was something that was kind of relevant to Halo, I think, for news. There's nothing really else, anything else to discuss. We do have a little tease from what we're going to get in the January update, which we haven't heard anything else from since they did the live stream for the Cartographer's Gift. And in that, we got teased the Mark V armor set, what looks like a needle carbine, and some pretty cool weapon skins, I think. Whenever I saw the AR skin, the one with the eagle, I was thinking it was like the Freedom skin or something like that. The American Eagle one.
Yeah.
Well, I could see that out of that.
So a few new weapon skins, a few new armor variants, obviously with the Mark V being in there. And then the needle carbine looks pretty interesting, too. Kind of looks like the return of the needle rifle, just in carbine form. And one last thing, if anyone is following the online brackets for the championship series for North America, something interesting happened this past weekend. So it was the second round of the online qualifiers, and in the semis, two of the top teams from the first and second seasons of the Halo championship series, Evil Geniuses and CLG, got knocked out in the semis. These are two of the best teams in competitive Halo, and Evil Geniuses took the first North American online qualifier, and then they got knocked out in the semis to a team called Leftovers. And Leftovers is not necessarily like a noob team. They have some pretty good team members on there, but it's just interesting to see how we're getting some new teams formed, and they're dethroning some of the bigger teams.
I'm liking some of the team names. Like,
yeah,
one of them is Hyphen. Not the word hyphen, the symbol.
Just a hyphen.
Yeah.
So for Team Leftovers, it's Victory X, Cloud, and then I don't recognize the gamer tag, Commonly Flies, and then there's Spartan on there as well. So there's some, I mean, these teams that dethrone these other two are, I mean, they have some, what's the term I'm looking for? Legacy pros, I guess, but pros that have been in Halo before. So I think it's refreshing to see that the kings of the game are able to be defeated, but it was still just like, whoa, getting the semis. And Evil Geniuses, they almost got wiped out in the 3-0 series. They barely snuck in with their first game, and then they just got creamed the next three games. So they were either really off, or people are really starting to see differences with Halo 5. And if you remember Halo 4, there were lots of new teams there, and they were competing up on the levels of the established pro teams as well. So we're bound to see some dynamic changes here. And we'll get to a little bit more in-depth with competitive stuff in a future podcast. I think in 2 weeks or so, we'll dive a little bit more into the online competitive stuff. We're going to be hopefully having ESL with Teemo, Sims, Bravo, and maybe Che on to discuss what's going on with the Halo World Championship Series. We wanted to get a podcast with them back last month, but we never got the approval for the questions that we had. So we're trying to get that established quickly, as soon as possible, before the tournament just flies by us.
Yeah.
So hopefully we'll get some news on that soon. I'm hoping, like, I'm going to follow up with Bravo here this weekend. I'm hoping that we can see some action on that in a couple of weeks, in 2 weeks. That's my hope. And so then CLG got kicked off in the semis by Team Allegiance. and they consist of Nated is the team captain, and then a couple of other names in here I don't recognize either. And these are, I'm looking off of the MLG bracket, so their MLG names they don't match their actual gamer tags, not all the time. So I'm not sure exactly who's on there that I would recognize. But we have someone who is a little bit more in tune with competitive than the rest of us here. So we're actually going to get a little bit of help in tracking some of the competitive stuff for you guys, for those interested. So that was some interesting stuff that happened over this past weekend too, to see two of the giants for competitive Halo get dethroned and see a couple other newly formed teams with a few new faces on there actually come in and perform at the top level. So it's going to be interesting to see. I think the regional is end of February. So it's going to be interesting to see what teams are making it there that are kind of the newly formed, and see what new faces that we're going to have the pleasure of seeing at the finals. So that'll be cool. That's going to be it for the new stuff. Let's go ahead and head on into campaign. Last time we were discussing the mission Unconfirmed, which was mission 5. So we're going to be heading into mission 6, Evacuation. And this one's pretty short. We're going to try to keep this podcast a little bit short this week. And we got some pretty hefty missions coming up for the next two. So it's going to be time consuming, to say the least, for those podcasts. So try to keep this one short in preparation for that. So after you come out of the warp teleporter thing, after you've disturbed the warden and the guardian is off going making a mess, you're back on the surface just outside the town of Meridian Station, and you're basically booking it as fast as you can. So there is a guy in, there's a warthog driving off, which you can actually jack and take. Or there's a mongoose that you can take. And there's a couple of things to note here. Whenever you're actually speeding through, you can get to the elevator pretty quickly. I think you can probably get there in about a minute and a half flat. Or maybe 2 minutes. That might be a little too fast. But one thing you want to watch out for whenever you're going through this first part is if you want to get the skull, which I believe is the Thunderstorm skull. Is that right? For this mission? There are 5 cones that you have to shoot or destroy. The first one is going to be, if you remember on the third mission, whenever you were just before you got into Meridian Station, where you had the big fight with the knights at the very end, if you go over to the left side where the catwalk is, where there would have been some power weapons, there's your first cone is going to be over there. Second cone is going to be just before you go across the bridge. So you'll drive down, you drive into the crater where you just off the building where you got the tank from the third mission. And then over to the right, there's another kind of high rise area. The cone is on the ground, and then there's a piece of intel up at the top of that structure. So don't forget that. That's the second cone. If you keep on driving about halfway down the bridge, there's a little collapse section on the right. Just as you pass that, there is a vehicle turned over, and just behind that, there's your third cone that you have to shoot. Keep on driving. Once you get to kind of the middle section of the next area, so in between where the bridge is and where the downed pelican is, after you made that first bend from the third level, about halfway in there, there is kind of like a tower of some kind. I don't know how to best describe it, but there's a cone sitting on top of a little cement block that you need to shoot.
Yeah, it's in between that tower and the six-wheeled vehicle that's parked right there.
Right. And you can also destroy these cones with a Gungoose if you really want to go fast to make sure you get them all, because you have to actually shoot all the cones within 2 minutes. And if you don't get them all within 2 minutes, then the cone at the very end, the fifth cone, actually disappears, and that kind of indicates that you didn't get it in time. So you can actually grab the Gungoose, and I did it on Legendary as well just to see if you could actually get through and get all the cones on Legendary, and it's pretty easy. You're flying with the Gungoose. As long as you don't bounce and topple over after you're flying off the building where you got the tank, then you can make it out pretty easily. So once you get the fourth one, the last one is going to be by the pelican, the down pelican, just in there. And once you get that one, then the skull is going to be spawning at the very end of the level, but we'll get to that in a little bit. Once you get to the dock, or the, sorry, not the dock, the port area for the space elevator, that's where you really encounter your first fight. Now, if you are playing on heroic or under, if you took the mongoose, which I highly suggest you do, you can actually drive the mongoose into the port area, and you can use the mongoose to shoot all the Prometheans there.
You can also get the Warthog in there. It's a little harder, but you can.
It's much more difficult, but yeah, it is possible. The Gungoose is just...
Before we get too far, at the beginning of this level, you're going to want to make a decision as far as achievements, because there's two achievements you get on this level. One of them is to complete the level in 18 minutes, and the other one is get at least 6 of the miners on the elevator. If you're really good, you can pull both of them off.
If you're really good.
If you're really good. I did it, and I used the Warthog in this area, and it makes this area go a lot faster. On Legendary, the Warthog is still helpful, but you have to be a lot more cautious with it, because the Prometheans will stun the Warthog, and they do a lot more damage to it quickly, so...
Okay, good to note. Yeah, I forgot about the Marines one, just because I haven't done it yet. That was going to be a pain, because you have to do that on Heroic or Harder, right?
Heroic or Legendary, and it's not that hard on Heroic.
I got the 18 minutes one. The 18 minute one is actually pretty easy, even on Legendary. It's if you got a party that you're playing with on Legendary, it's pretty easy. It's a little more difficult on Solo, and the 18 minutes is definitely doable on Heroic Solo, but Legendary is... It's a little tight, but it's definitely doable. So for tactic-wise, what do you guys do whenever you get to the port? I usually stick to the left. I try to headshot all the snipers, and I'm either underneath on the left or I'm above on the left. I rarely go to the right.
I actually go to the right.
Do you? So you try to get the snipers?
Well, I go to the right and climb up on top of the building. Because there's two DMRs up there that you can get to, or one DMR and one battle rifle. I don't remember exactly. But you can step back and get cover pretty easily. On the left-hand side up by the shuttle and stuff, it seems that I get, whenever I tried that, I get pinned down a little bit more easily. But I'll go to the right and clear out a bunch in the middle, and then... if I remember right, I think there's turrets in here that you can turn back on.
You can't turn the turrets back on.
Not when you come back. The turrets on.
Not when you come back.
Maybe it's a different aisle. But anyway, I generally go for the right at first, and then after I do a lot of clearing, I'll work back around to the left.
Gotcha.
For like the night and stuff.
I just do it, I think, because aren't most of the enemies on the right? Whenever you get to that area?
Yeah, they're mostly on the right. I usually just think...
Well, the lower right, yeah.
Well, then they do the little warp up to the top.
No, actually, they don't go to the very top that much.
I've got quite a few that go to the top, and usually the hardest ones to get. The ones on the ground are pretty easy, but the ones on the top are the ones that have... They're either on the rocket turret, or they have the binary rifles that just completely destroy you.
Yeah.
So...
Well, I mean, the last couple of times I've gone through it, I went through it with the Warthog, so yeah, I kind of went right down the middle.
Fair point. I know for the left side up top, there's a sniper rifle and a rail gun. I know if you go to
a rocket launcher,
is there where
on that top level?
I've never found
there's
one.
Also a Hydra, a Goss about the Hydra turret.
Knew about the Goss turret, did not know about a rocket launcher though.
Mm-hmm.
Huh, I'll have to go find that one. And then I know for any of the Prometheans that you drop, you get binary rifles. They have those. No incineration cannons that I remember. Is there anything else up on the right side that I don't know about? Because I never go up there.
No, that's it.
Okay. So after you clear out that section, which is probably one of the more difficult sections, if not the difficult, at least when I ran it on Legendary, this was the section that tripped me up the most, was this section.
Yeah, first time I went through it, same.
I think when I was playing on Legendary, it took me 40 minutes to get through that section alone.
Didn't trip me up that much.
I had issues, I guess. So that area, clearing it out, then you get to the space elevator. Just after they open the doors, though, there are two pieces of intel that you want to grab. There's one on the right. The one on the right is on a little lift thing, so against the wall. And then the one on the left is a little tricky. So there is what kind of looks like a shelf unit that has some boxes on it. You have to clamber up to the first one, then you have to jump out, clamber up to the second level, and then if you turn back around, there's kind of like a little, what looks like a little lift type of area, or kind of like a suspension for the elevator. You hop onto that, and that's where your piece of intel is over there. And then once you get those two, you can enter into the space elevator. If you head off to the left, there is a little container that has the vents that you can smash down. In there is another piece of intel, and then there is also railguns. There's weapons all over the place in this area. There's railguns, Hydras, BR ammo, DMRs, and I think those are kind of the power weapons, is the railguns and the Hydras.
No, not to mention the Prometheans bring you splinter turrets,
right,
scatter shots, incendiary cannons. So
after the elevator starts to, you have to activate the switch to get the elevator to go. And after you do that, there are three waves of Prometheans. The first one is just normal Promethean soldiers and crawlers, nothing too crazy, nothing too special. They have their suppressor, light rifle, bolt shot mixes. Second wave is another round of soldiers, but they have splinter turrets. I think it's three of them, four of them.
Two of them with splinter turrets.
Two with splinter turrets, but there's four soldiers.
Yeah, there's four soldiers. I think the other two have scatter shots.
Yeah, something like that. So that's the second wave. And then the third wave, that's when you get the knights. And there are three knights. One has an incineration cannon. One has a scatter shot. Or do two have some incineration cannons?
There are, no, one incin and one scatter shot.
What about the third?
No, wait a minute. Two scatter shots. Yeah.
Okay. Can't remember if it was two incin cannons or two scatter shots. And the trick to those, obviously, is you shoot the little glowy bits. And then, if you're lucky, whenever you do kill one of the glowy bits, they do their little rage thing and open their face. And then you just headshot them in the face and they die. That's the easy way to kill them.
Or you're smart and you save the splinter turrets for them. And then you just hammer them and they go melty, melty.
And the splinter grenades. The splinter grenades are super effective against knights.
Oh, yes. They're super effective against everything.
Elites can kind of meander through them all right. But everything else, I know they do enough damage to soldiers to where you hit them, they do their little warp thing, but they've already taken enough damage to where you can headshot them. And then knights are just so slow that they just stand in the dang thing as it just kills them off. And for elites, they do the whole barrel roll thing, so only a couple of them get hit. I think they're the ones that kind of evade the splinter grenades the easiest or the best.
Well, yeah, the elites always, especially on the higher difficulties, they'll always evade the grenades. But if you can smack one with them, they're very effective.
Yeah. After the third wave, you have the Guardian doing its song of the Guardian song that's about to do like the part or something. And the space, there's an EMP blast that gets sent out. It obviously hits the elevator. The elevator starts to drop and then the emergency brakes hit. And emergency doors open. You head out the emergency doors and then you start climbing up the rest of the tower. This is the other kind of tricky part to this whole thing. So there are two pieces of intel as you're climbing this tower. And I would suggest, instead of staying to fight, even on Legendary, I would suggest running up as quickly as possible. You can actually get almost to the top without having to engage in many enemies. And that'll help you get past the Phaetons and some of the soldiers with the bigger weapons in it. If you're getting intel, though, the first piece of intel is just under the crane that you get to outside. So the very bottom level, there is a crane at the outer edge of the tower where you're climbing up it. You drop down to get the fifth piece of intel there, and then you kind of crawl your way back up. Don't recommend doing that on Legendary unless you have balls of steel or talents of a god and can get back up pretty quickly without getting murdered. But yeah, do that on Heroic. It'd probably be best. Heroic or easier. And I don't know what path you guys take, but I know for me, whenever I head out, I head out the right door, go up, clamber up to the first walkway, go up to the crane, boost over up to the next platform, head on over to the left and start making my way up that way to get past that first set of enemies. And then I just book
it. I just scramble up as fast as I can. Whatever path is not taken.
Gotcha.
Yeah, that's pretty much where I go too. Like, I just run up as fast as I can.
Well, I know there's different routes that you can take on this tower. Once you get to a certain point, then it's like, okay, you need to take this route to get all the way up. But for the first three or four levels, there's a mix of ways, and I'm sure the speedrunners have kind of figured out which way is the fastest way by now. But for me, it's hop on that crane, then hop on the second level, then you run around to where there's a ramp up to the third level, and then it's pretty straightforward from there.
I honestly still kind of get lost on that one. Every once in a while, I have to stop and think which way I need to go.
Cool Arif is wanting to know if he can see the gameplay that you and Pins did. Do you know what he's talking about?
No, I didn't record that. That was just me and Pins goofing around.
Going up the rest of the tower, though, there is one more piece of intel. As you get to the part where it's not the metal grated rafters, where there's actually a collapsed part that's a solid wall piece, you kind of hop up there. And this is right before you get to the platform where you have the light rifles laid up against the railing and the final area. But if you get up to that point, then if you look straight down, and if you're looking out to the right of the tower, if you look down, you'll see a little hard hat and a couple other little boxes or chairs. And there's your last piece of intel is down there. And if you get up to that point, you can just jump down or ground pound down. But if you are running up the graded area and then you get to the part where you have the solid wall, as you start to head away from the tower, you can just jump down to the right and get that as well. And then you can clamber your way back up to the top. Now, whenever you get to the final point, like the final soldiers that you have to go through, I don't remember who I was playing with. I don't know if you were in there, GT. You may have been, but I was playing with someone on this, and we were playing on Legendary. We were seeing if we could just run through that wave of soldiers. And it's difficult. It's really difficult, but you can do it.
Yeah, but you've got two light rifles there. You can tear through them pretty quickly.
Yeah.
I mean, the light rifle does a really good job of tearing through the soldiers. So, you know, if you feel gutsy enough to do it, go for it. But you've got enough ammunition there, you can take them out.
If you're not in a massive rush, then you can do it.
I mean, if you're a speedrunner, go for it.
Right.
If you just want to finish the level, you could probably hang back.
They probably have some other weird, quirky way to just bypass all of that. Probably.
Well, I think if you get up there fast enough, you can actually catch them loading into the area, you know, actually walking into the area where you can get past them, where only a couple of them are actually shooting at you. So instead of being the soldier wall that they are.
Right.
You know, if you're stopping to get intel and stuff like that.
After you get through that last wall, and I guess we haven't really mentioned this, but I guess we should. Once you get to that outer tower part, there's actually three phaetons that you need to be careful of. And I believe it's after you get up that first set of rafters, like the first time that you're actually outside furthest from the elevator, there's a couple of Spartan lasers, a Hydra, or maybe a couple of Hydras and some railguns. Actually,
once you get to the second level is when they show up, when they start coming in. And then you get to the third level, there's two soldiers up there, the two soldiers that kind of teleport around when you first come into the area, right by that first piece of intel. Uh-huh. If you don't kill them there, they jump up to that third level. Ugh. But yeah, there's Spartan laser, rocket launcher, Hydra, a Gauss turret, a rocket launcher, or a rocket pod, all in that area. Huh. I recommend the Spartan laser. It works really good on Phaetons.
Yep, Spartan laser, I think, is the best. That's the best for that one. And then once you get to the very, very top, after you get past that set of soldiers, you'll encounter the Guardian doing its little pulses again. And if you did all the cones, then the Thunderstorm Skull is actually going to be on your way to the Pelican that you called in. So about halfway between...
It's actually sunk down in the path that you're walking in. And they're really small.
And it makes it a pain because you actually have to be looking right at it to pick it up. It's not something where you can be standing over it and then just hit X. You have to be looking at it. And I've gotten... When I've run this and I'll get the skull video out at some point. I have all the footage. I just need to put it together. But when I was running it a few times, it was difficult to the point where the first time I got the skull, I waited so long that by the time I got to the Pelican, the Guardian did his third wave thing and it basically killed me. So I had to do it again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you have a limited amount of time to get that done and then get to the Pelican.
Right. After you go through that top door, you're on a timer. So move quickly. And that's the end of the mission. Pretty easy mission. Pretty simple. Probably the quickest mission in Halo 5, aside from the hub missions, because I don't really count those as missions. But I would say that one's probably, I think it's arguably the quickest mission. What do you guys think? What do you guys think?
I would say it would be. That yeah.
Or the first mission.
Yeah, the first mission.
First mission was a joke. I mean, it's the yeah. tutorial mission, but it was still kind of a joke.
I don't know. The first mission, yeah, if you're playing it on easy or normal, that you can blow through it pretty quickly. If you're co-op on heroic, you can blow through it pretty quickly. Legendary, by yourself, it's quite the challenge.
Uh-huh.
You know, it took, I think my legendary run on that level took me 30, 35 minutes. My legendary run on evacuation took me like 20.
Okay.
And that was still fighting around with the Phaetons.
Were you getting the additional collectibles too? Or was that just a straight run?
That was my first attempt at the 18 minute achievement.
So you really weren't worried about.
Yeah, I wasn't stopping for collectibles.
Gotcha.
I did do the cones, but I didn't go for the intel.
The cones are pretty easy to get as you go along. You're probably adding maybe 20, 25 seconds to your time if you're getting the cones, so it's really not that much.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have anything multiplayer to really talk about. I was hoping that we'd actually get some new multiplayer modes with the December update with Forge and everything, but we didn't. I don't want to necessarily repeat another game mode, and we're kind of coming back from the holidays, and I know Bio hasn't played too much Halo, and I don't know about you, GT, but there's some of the other maps. Like, a lot of the stuff that I've played over the holiday break was maps that we already discussed.
I will say that over the holiday break, the Forgers have been busy.
Oh my gosh. There has been a ton of Forge videos. So if you follow Forge Hub, Forge Labs, The Epidemic, any of those communities, any of those channels, there has been content out the wazoo. It has been crazy.
It's and good I've to see. I've been downloading these maps and they look gorgeous.
Oh, yes.
I mean, some of them. There's one shit. I can't think what the name of it is, but I loaded it up and I could have swore it wasn't on this map. It looked that good.
Better than the big team ones.
Oh God. Yes. I mean, well, with the exception of Guillotine, but I mean, Guillotine, it looked closer than the others, but not perfect. But this, I tell you what, the Forgers have got, they're getting their groove on. They're really getting their hands on the lighting setups and making these maps just look awesome.
Oh yes.
And the lives, and the thing is, there's live streams constantly. Mm-hmm. I'm seeing a live stream of Forge Chip, that Forge Tips,
Forge Chip.
Yeah, but no, it's just cool to see the forging community come back the way it is. I mean, they Halo 2 anniversary, it really wasn't there, so seeing this at this time around was really cool to see.
Yeah, so far I've got two versions of Duck Hunt and two versions of Dodgeball downloaded.
Nice.
Most of the other maps are just Slayer maps, but
cool. I will say that next week we're actually having the community cartographers on for the show.
Cool.
Yeah. So I got to get my hands in some Forge over this next week. And I've seen a lot of the videos that Forge Hub has been putting out. They're doing a lot of this stuff, tutorials with the scripting, and they've done some stuff with the lighting. And that scripting engine is super powerful.
Mm-hmm. Is that I was watching the Searchlight video, and being able to actually script a light to sweep back and forth. I'm like, and it's simple.
Yeah.
You know, that's the thing. It's not, I mean, some of the scripting gives me a headache just watching them do it, but there are neat things that you can do that are really simple.
There's a lot of cool stuff that I've seen in videos that, and I'm finishing up working on the mole right now and just thinking of the possibilities that could be done for puzzle maps, trial maps.
I've seen several of those too. Trials or puzzle or trials maps.
And I saw a video of a dodgeball. There's been a lot of dodgeball remakes, but it was something where everyone spawned in a platform that was rising up, which made me think someone's going to make a Hunger Games custom for Halo 5.
I think there's already some already in the making right now as we speak.
Probably.
I'd be surprised if there was not.
343, we need a file browser.
Yeah, we really need a file browser.
Because this whole, don't get me wrong, I understand you're trying to get community involvement, people talking to each other, but this business of having to add the person as a friend before you can download or bookmark their files, it's kind of a pain.
I'm wondering if that's an Xbox thing or if that is something that they can control.
I don't know.
I'm sure they can come up with something like, let it be simple. I'm sure there's something they can do.
I would hope so. I just don't know with the technology that's there, if the whole adding like as a friend and following, that's just kind of the easy thing, or how difficult it would be to have that browser there. Cause that means you're having to index all the files that are out there in every single file share and then doing a search, which, I mean, they obviously did it for Reach, but
did it for Halo 3. They did it for Reach.
Well, that was Bungie too. That was done on Bungie servers, not necessarily Xbox servers.
They did it in Halo 4.
There was a file browser in Halo 4?
In game. You could browse people's file shares in game. You would still have to enter their gamer tag, but you wouldn't have to add them to your friends list to be able to browse.
Well, yeah, but that's
file share.
Hey, Pins resubscribed. Thanks, dude. But that's also, you're basing it off of that architecture, the Xbox 360 architecture, where you could look that up.
Yeah, I understand that. If this is something that the Xbox has changed, they need to fix it.
Ergibu said that Tom French tweeted out that they didn't have time to implement a file browser. So I'm guessing that means that they are working on a file browser. It's just not ready yet. And Bravo did say in one of the December updates, before the December update came out, that it was a basic implementation of the file share system, which kind of implied that they're going to expand it. So that's all good.
But basically what I'm saying is part of the reason Halo 4's Forge died was the lack of a good file browser.
There was several different things. The reason why Forge,
I mean, that's, it's not the only reason, you know, there's a lot of things that piled up to add to it, but that was one of the things.
I think compared to, the overall issue was that was loadouts. That was probably something that was more fuel to the fire than the actual cause of the fire.
Well, loadouts could be turned off.
But then they didn't turn them off in matchmaking. That was the problem.
Yeah, I'm just talking about customs, you know, custom games and stuff like that.
Well, yeah. Anyways, it is good to see that a lot of things in Halo 5 are actually starting to gain the attention of people and actually bring people back, because there was that whole period, and we were talking about it too, with Forge coming out late December, of people kind of leaving Halo 5 and not really being able to retain a good population. But the Forgers are in there, and we're starting to see custom maps, and it seems like there are certain people that are just kind of like hanging on for dear life at this point. Mm-hmm. It doesn't seem like the population has quite gone away yet, but it seems like we're at a pivotal point right now where things need to change very rapidly or people are going to actually start falling off like it happened with Halo 4.
Mm-hmm.
Well, one of the things that I will say now is there's like we had the holiday playlist that we, you know, had through Christmas and all
which
that stuff.
Which was a lot of fun.
Which was a lot of fun. And then when those went away, I noticed I didn't play it again. Like, I just kind of left it alone, which a lot of people did this time around. And I think that's a huge thing that 343 really needs to get in there is get some more playlists because I'm tired of playing the same things over and over and over again. And it's not just me.
Some type of random game playlist and not Slayer, Capture the Flag, One Bomb. You know, something like their Action Sack playlist.
It's because they don't have the game modes yet.
I know.
They need to get those game modes out.
They need to get the game modes out. I mean, two things that will help in tremendous ways is the game modes and an easy way to share the maps.
Yes. And it would be nice to see with all the cool, fancy stuff that they have done with Waypoint to actually be it to where you can add something to your file share on Waypoint. Like if you like you can go navigate to someone's file share like you could with Halo 3 and Reach, mm-hmm. browser file share from your browser, from their profile on Halo Waypoint, and say, add this map to my file browser, and that way whenever or my file share. That way whenever you go to Halo, it's already there. You can choose it from your saved maps. And there you go. Like that would be so much easier. That would make sharing maps, editing maps for all of these Forge groups, a lot of these custom groups to collaborate, actually share stuff, and it would overall be a huge, huge feature for the community. There's so much potential behind Waypoint right now, and it's just not quite there. Like, in Spartan Companies is a prime example. We have a pretty cool thing on the website where you can have your own forums and organize events and whatnot, but there's barely anything in game. There's no clan battle system. You get your clan name underneath your title bar thing whenever you go into someone's profile, but that's about it. And they added clan commendations, but that's not that much in game.
No, there's a lot of stuff that they need to really work on. And to be perfectly honest, like I love Halo 5 to death. It to me, it's my favorite Halo by far, multiplayer wise, as you know, just mechanics and gameplay. But it's missing that core Halo experience, and it's to me it's not feeling great. There's a lot of things that they really need to work on. I mean, with Halo 5, like with the Forge coming out, like we're getting custom games, so we you know custom game nights are coming back, which is a blast. It's just, it's not right. It's not quite there just yet. And there's some other things that I'm really hoping we see relatively soon.
Yep.
I mean, Halo has its own LFG site now.
Huh?
Does it really?
Yes.
I don't know what you're talking about.
.org, I believe.
LFG.
I didn't even know that.
It's a website you can
go looking for a player.
Yeah, people looking for players.
Oh, you're talking about Halo lobbies.
Like Destiny uses.
No, you're talking about Halo lobbies.
Yeah, Halo lobbies. Sorry. But back in the day, you didn't really have an option to have that. But
it was Halo back in the day.
You didn't need that because you had your friends list. And you know, in Halo 2, you had your clan. It's, you know, I love that they implemented this clan system. But if you're going to do that, you need to integrate it into your game more. You'll be able, you know, have it to where you can pull up your clan list, your clan members in game, and see who's online.
I think for the next game, I think for Halo 6 or whatever, I guess they may go off the number system, whatever the next Halo first-person shooter game is, they really need to iron out all the cool features into the game instead of just coming out with the core experience.
They need to launch the entire game at launch.
Yes.
They piecemeal it again like they did this time. And
bye-bye.
Their player base is gone.
Yeah. This was their, okay, in my opinion, okay, you you made amends. You definitely did a lot more things right this time around, but there are still quite a few things that you should have gotten right before the game came out, type of thing.
Yeah, I'm
I mean,
sorry.
They got the core gameplay experience down in my books. Like they nailed it, but that's not all that it's going to be. And to be perfectly honest, there's a lot. Halo 6, they really need to get some game modes in there. Like, honestly, like, because, like, and then I had a lot of conversations with people outside of just the Halo community in general, or just really close friends, and they were playing. They're like, why is it that we don't have these other game types like Oddball? You know, we have Capture the Flag, but they all went back to the old Halo Reach days. You know, when you could go on the, you know, so many different playlists and have a crap load of fun playing these different playlists. One that I seen that popped up a lot was Stockpile, and what was the other one? The Skull one.
Regicide?
No, it was Halo Reach. We had to collect all the skulls for each kill. I can't even think of it.
Regicide?
Headhunter.
Headhunter.
Or Headhunter?
Yeah, Headhunter. That was one I seen got brought up a lot too, because there was other things that you could do with that other than just collecting skulls. You could do different mini games with. Which, you know, I read that is something that a lot of people said too, that Bungie wasn't really expecting either, was making mini game types out of the game types that they provided. So, mm-hmm. And we don't have that. We really don't. And that's something that a lot of people are missing.
Well, the one thing I want them not to do is oversaturate on playlists. Like we had the problem in Reach.
Well, I mean, not necessarily. Like the demo.
I understand what you're saying, but the wacky game types, the mini games and stuff like that, as far as matchmaking, need to be in one playlist.
Yeah, like Action Sack or something right. Of those. So, yeah, but what I'm saying is have that, but also have those rotational playlists. That way, people look forward to something each weekend. Mm-hmm. Like I'm down with that. I'm down with that all the way, especially having the voting system in there, you know, having each weekend, you know, vote which, you know, playlist that you want to see come in. I like that. I like that a lot because it gives it a little bit more variety other than the same thing over and over and over mm-hmm. again. So I like that. It's just we need to get a couple more playlists in the Slayer. Not just because I went back in the war games again and I was playing and playing and playing and playing and it got stale. It got stale real quick, at least for me.
Yeah, in the last 3 weeks, I think I've played four total games.
Yeah.
I've played every day to try to get my dailies. I need to get a squad together to actually play the team playlists and actually get some ranks.
You know, honestly, this time around, I've got my rank in SWAT, and I haven't even touched any of the others.
I got mine in a Team Slayer. I got gold rank 5, or if I'm saying that right.
I got gold. How to
take it. Gold 3.
Let's see, I got gold 3.
Is there 5?
In SWAT?
I think it's gold.
Yeah, is there 5?
Or is it 6? No, it's 6. 5 or 6, whatever. Anyways.
But no, I got that, and I'm good. I'm leaving it like that for right now. Last time I actually played was probably with you and Jack. That was the last time I actually played Halo.
Oh, yeah, a couple nights ago.
I jumped on every once in a while to do some rec pack opening stuff, but that's about it. I haven't really touched it since then.
Yeah, I do my dailies for sure. And then depending on what my schedule is, which right now I've been trying to get some more in real life stuff done. Depending on what my schedule is, I'll either play a little bit extra or I'll just get my dailies and hop off. Cool Arif was asking what everyone is level-wise in Halo 5. I'm a 51.
I think I'm a 45.
I'm a 37?
If I'm not wrong. You need to quit playing Destiny so much.
I haven't played Destiny. Honestly, I haven't played Destiny. To be honest with you, I've been playing more Diablo. Like, I got into that game, and it sucked me in. I haven't touched any other games besides that lately.
You are probably... I would not be surprised if you were maybe in like the top 100 people with the highest level in Halo 5. He has a 133.
What is it? Holy crap.
Out of 150.
Yeah, but the that's crazy. The rest of them, it's going to take him forever.
But he's a 133.
I know.
Man, no, that's probably still, not quite halfway.
At 133, he's only like one third the way to 150.
Yeah, you know,
in XP.
And you know what that means? Come the end of the time that they've unleashed all the content, he's going to already be maxed out. He will max out his.
No, he's only one third the way to 150.
Yeah, and he's just over 2 months. So you do another 4 months, it'll be May. Maybe get another month if he's not quite at a third yet. And they're still coming out with content in May. They're coming out with content through June. He's going to have his 152 before they release the final content update.
Well, I'm sure he'll take a break in there somewhere.
That's crazy.
I mean, I'm a 51.
Dude. Or,
yeah, 51.
He's been doing a lot of weekend doubles.
I can tell. Holy crap. Has anyone hit max rank yet? Like, have we had official someone say that they've hit max rank?
I don't think so. I think 343 would have said something by now in the community update.
Okay.
Eric Abu's like, a break? Me? Nah.
See, and that's something that is really egging me on, too, is to get my rank up higher. Because that's just... When I played the beta, I was up there for getting a really high rank. I mean, I think I hit rank 21, if I remember correctly, or 22. Like, it was up there within the first couple of days of the beta. So, I mean, that was just something I was pushing for all the time. And Halo 5, I'm not exactly there just yet, but...
I think we need more game modes and more playlists to really support everyone putting in the effort to get those ranks.
Mm-hmm.
Once we get those, I think we'll see a lot more people on to play for the game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, honestly, right now I'm not playing for rank. I'm just playing the game because I enjoy playing the game.
Yep.
One of the things that I will be doing a crap load is to get that wolf skin for the pistol. Like, I will be on Halo. Like, when that January thing hits that, I will be playing that game constantly till I get that skin. I'm going to go nuts just trying to get that stupid skin.
You know, it'd be hilarious if it was one of the last permanents that you had, like, you got to unlock. So you begin to, like, level 80 before you get to actually unlock it. You'll be playing for 2 months straight.
Oh yeah, dude. I'd be going nuts. Like, and that's one thing that they have that I've... There are two things I want in this game extremely bad. That's Deadeye and this wolf skin. Those are the two things that are just driving me nuts. And I'm getting close to the helmet. I got 138 out of 182. Is that right? If I remember correctly, 182 helmets.
I think I got 7.
I don't remember how many helmets there are.
I got a lot. I got a lot of helmets.
I'm checking my profile right now to see how many I have.
Be interested to see what I get out of my rec packs tomorrow.
Yeah, you stockpiled quite a few rec points.
It's really only the month of December.
So you just didn't spend any rec points?
No, I bought rec packs with rec points. But that's rec packs that I've earned and rec packs that I've bought with rec points.
Oh, so you've already opened them?
No, I haven't opened them.
I bought them
on the website.
You can do that.
But if you buy them on the website, it still instantly opens, right?
Nope. You can tell it not to open.
Oh, really?
Yes.
I did not know that.
Read the pop-ups.
Okay. See, that was something that I was really looking forward to on Halo 5, was something that I wish they would have incorporated, is if you buy rec packs or the gold packs with actual money, they won't open. I just wish that was the case with actually buying with the rec points themselves. So if you buy one gold, you can stack them. That way, if you want to do like a 20 or 25, you know, rec pack opening video or something like that, you can have them instead of going one by one by one. I didn't know that was a thing.
Yeah, if you go to the website, you can buy the rec packs with your rec points and choose not to open them.
Okay.
Huh.
Nice to know.
Yeah.
I
know what I'm going to be doing now.
Yeah. I have. So this is funny, too. I have one rec point right now. One.
One.
How do you have one?
I have one rec point right now. I am not even joking.
I think I got 82,000 or 83,000.
I'm sitting around at like 9,700.
So I have 101 helmets out of 191. I have, shouldn't have expanded that one. 21 out of 55 visors. Oh my gosh, this is going to suck. It's going to take away a lot. 78 out of 241 emblems, 7 out of 16 stances, 11 out of 20 assassinations, 17 out of 38 weapon skins.
See, that is one thing I'm after that the game is being so stingy will not give me is stances. I can't get them. I can't get them to save my life. I've tried so many just trying to get those stupid stances. I have one that looks like a boxing match. Is ready to go off. Like, that's the one I got right now. That's just the only one I have.
Personally, I want all my power weapon certs. That's what I'm trying. That's what I really want, is all the power weapon certs.
I did get the Ultra Rare Spanker, though.
Cool.
Wow. I was incredibly... Yeah, I was kind of happy about that. Microsoft gave me a $50 gift certificate for getting my new computer. That all went to our direct points. Like, I didn't spend money for him, but
Microsoft spent the money on Microsoft stuff. That's cool.
Yeah, pretty much.
Nice.
It
way to fund the HCS there.
Nah.
Take it from the left pocket, put it in the right pocket. Hey, it works.
It does.
Yeah, I have 3 stances bio, and I think I got 2 of those when I bought for buying the game.
Really? I didn't get any stances while buying the game. Like I said,
I think you get one with the game and the other one I unlocked from the beta.
Ah, see, that's interesting. I'll have to look because there was a rec pack that everyone got from the beta that everyone got, like, if that was participated in the beta, I never got. So I wonder if that's the case. But there's a reasoning for that I can't say, but it makes me wonder if that is one of the things.
Well, that's going to cover it for us tonight. There's nothing else I think we really have to talk about. We'll be diving into a little more stuff, hopefully next week with Forge. So the cartographers include Duquesne 23, Knockyard, Warholic, The Faded Fire, and who am I missing? The Psycho Duck. Yeah, so those 5 guys will be on next week for our show, which will be awesome because Forge, I've just watched the videos that are on Forge Hub and all the tutorial stuff, and it looks ridiculous. Like, I can't even understand all the aspects of Forge. And like, I can understand all the different stuff that was in there for Halo 2 Anniversary and all the previous Forges, but there are so many new things in this Forge. Just looking at what videos have come out and they produced, it boggles my mind. It gives me a headache just how much stuff is there.
It's, oh man, like me and Duquesne were just going back and looking through different things like a week ago, just, and he was just blowing my mind some of the stuff that I didn't even know was in this Forge. Like, I didn't know about it, and he was showing me this and that, and I'm like, and the thing that really is interesting too is if people have a pro controller, the Pro Elite controller, it really does help. Like, I don't really know how to describe it, but like, it helps out a lot. I'm really interested to see if any of the Forgers actually own a pro controller. That's something I actually would like to ask the cartographers when they're on.
Well, you can ask them next week.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, I should probably go ahead and get mine ordered.
Yeah.
You're not ordering it from the Microsoft store.
Yeah, Amazon is temporarily out of stock too.
Check Best Buy. Major Delson tweeted out earlier, Best Buy had some.
GameStop had some, too, at least when I was there.
The ones they sell on their package deal.
Yeah, that's the only one I could get. The controller with the actual charging kit, which I actually like the charging kit. It's handy. Like, I don't have to have any wires or anything. I literally just put it down on there and it's charging. So that's
how does it charge?
On its way.
Is it a different battery?
Yeah, so basically what it is,
the back of the battery.
Yeah, and it comes with a different lid. So you have to take the lid that's off the actual controller and put it on there, and you just lay it on.
See, I just have to play in charge kit, and most of the time I'm playing wired anyways, so...
Well, it comes with a wire. Oh, it comes with a braided wire.
Well, no.
Best Buy sold out on them now, too.
Yep, I already looked. I'll check my local Best Buy store and see if there are any there.
I cannot believe how fast these things sell.
I know. It's absolutely nuts. Like, I don't know how I have one. like I went to a New Year's party and everyone that was there, I brought my Elite controller over there and they're like, how do you have this? Like they're like, it's not possible. Like they sell out just almost instantaneously.
Well, you know, I held off on doing a pre-order on one because, you know, heck, I already had $1,000 worth of Halo stuff on pre-order. You know, I figured, well, I'll just, yeah, you know, I'll wait until December and I'll just go up to Best Buy and pick one up. Yeah, right.
Well, I had one on pre-order and then I canceled my pre-order because I spent too much money on Halo.
Yeah.
And now you're like, damn.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Head desk.
Yeah.
The thing
especially
is,
now that you can buy the LCE edition for $99 instead of $299.
It's back up now.
And they're in stock.
It's $128.99 now.
It's still cheaper.
Oh, yeah, definitely. But talking about that, we actually are giving away a LCD at some point.
Cool.
Don't know when we're going to do that. Thought about doing it for the new year, and then I got lazy because it was the new year. It was New Year's Day.
Oh.
Yeah. But we'll be giving one away soon.
We still have a game code to give away, too.
Oh, crap, we do. And we have, actually, this just goes to show how just not thinking of Halo I was during the holidays. I was planning on doing a 12 Days of Christmas giveaway because I have 5 copies of Last Light. I have 2 LCEs. We're actually going to hold one for the Operation Supply Drop stream that we're doing next month. I have Oni patches. I have Podtacular t-shirts. I have a whole bunch of other Halo stuff, like Mega Block stuff, that I could have given away. Like, I could have given away something each day for 12 days of Christmas for Halo stuff. And I was just lazy.
We'll do 12 days of New Year.
It's already past the New Year. It's already the 7th.
Do 12 days of Valentine's. I don't know.
I don't think that's a thing.
I think we could come up with something.
Well, yeah, we'll come up with something. But that's going to wrap it up for us tonight. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. Our first podcast of 2016. Lots of changes coming for Halo 5. Lots of changes coming for us. If you want to partake in some of those changes that are coming down our way, we are still accepting applications, and there are a few that have come in that I know I need to look at, and I've been putting off for a couple of months. So if you have sent one in and you haven't heard back from me, sorry. It's been a rough/lazy past couple of months, but I will be getting through those this weekend. I know there's a couple of people that were interested and kind of contacted me out of the loop that I'm going to try to get in here as well. So lots of interesting stuff coming there. Hopefully we're getting a website redesign. South, if you're still in the chat, hopefully sometime this weekend we could talk about that. So site redesign, some cool new features that we want to do, actually getting on stream a lot more often, getting some streaming assets would be good as well. All that stuff to come hopefully within the next few months as we get more cool stuff in Halo 5. Hopefully with January we get some game modes. I really hope we get some game modes.
Yeah.
Like Riftball Hub is pissed. They're not happy. But anyways, cool, Arif. We normally broadcast today for the podcast and Fridays for Fraggin' Fridays.
Game night. Party!
Which we're going to be changing up a little bit because we do want to do a feature every week to where we kind of highlight a custom map and put it on the website. So I think, and that was one of the things I wanted to talk about last weekend that we never got around to in the staff call, which I never did. Right. We're going to be doing some map featurettes, and hopefully we'll be getting some actual footage during our game nights for some of those. And there have been some pretty cool customs, like we've mentioned earlier in the podcast, that we want to get our hands on and try.
Football.
I want to see a speed remake. I want to see a good speed remake. And, I mean, Lava Pit's a good one. Brake Failure's a good one. Just waiting for them to get remade, basically. Oh, there's a really, really, really cool Duck Hunt one, too. Have you guys seen it?
I've seen a couple of them.
There's a really cool one that was done by, I think, Ice Spiteful. It's really cool. It uses some of the
Yeah, I've got that one.
Some of the scripting stuff. Oh, man.
Uses the scripting to move the blocks.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. It looks like so much fun.
Yes, I've got that one.
Okay. Should definitely play that one. That would be a good first highlight one.
Well, I planned on it.
Good. Cool. Awesome. hopefully I can make it there. I'm not sure.
All I need is people.
Yes. So
show up.
So yeah, show up on Fridays. You'll get featured in videos. Everyone likes that, right? Also.
And maybe I'll figure out how to make my mic not echo anymore.
Also, for anyone that didn't get the loot crate from last month, the theme was Galaxy. And there were some Halo items in there, one of which was a rec code. And I'm actually going to do an unboxing video. I haven't unboxed it yet. So I'll be doing an unboxing video this weekend, and we're going to be giving away. So one of my coworkers is subscribed to Loot Crate as well. He doesn't play Halo, though, so he gave me his rec code. So I'm going to be giving that away in the video. So pay attention to our YouTube channel this weekend for the rec pack code, which I haven't seen anyone else really talk about, but I'm guessing there's going to be a special emblem tied with it. But once I do the opening video, we'll obviously find out. But I am going to be giving away my coworker's code through the video, so make sure you check it out. And that'll wrap it up for us tonight. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. We'll be back here again next week at 8. Well, no, sorry, take that back. 9 p.m. Eastern Time. I forgot we changed the time on that. And we normally do our game nights on Friday at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. That is open to everyone. And then we have started this week doing our Spartan Company weekly events, which includes Tactical Tuesday, which is arena focused, and Warzone Wednesday, which is Warzone focused. For everyone that is interested in the arena stuff, we're going to be looking to put together a competitive team. So whenever we get events with other communities like clan matches, or if we actually get something that's a little more fleshed out of a clan system in Halo 5, then that will be kind of our dedicated team to go and play with others. And if we do get something like maybe a Bungie Hump Day challenge, it would be the team that would obviously go and play against 343 and just kind of get a team together that is actually really competitive focused. That's kind of something that we want to look through, and Tactical Tuesday is going to be the gateway to that. Sometime by the end of the month, hopefully we can get some people identified as the representative group of Podtacular players, in a sense.
So not me.
And probably not me, but we'll see. So if you're interested in that, make sure you check out Tactical Tuesday for the next few events. And there's also Warzone Wednesday as well. So those are the three nights that you can get involved with. And right now, Tactical Tuesday and Warzone Wednesday, those are exclusive to the Spartan Company. So if you are not part of the Spartan Company, then we're not inviting you to those game nights. Those are specifically for us as a Podtacular fire team to actually get together and play together, learn tactics together, and all that stuff. So that's where we really focus on that. And if you want to join our Spartan Company, you can do that. We still have plenty of spots available. If you head on over to podtacular.com/company, that redirects you to the company profile on Halo Waypoint. And then you just request enlistment, and one of us will add you to the group. I think we have just under 30 slots available. I think right now we're either at 71 or 72 Spartan Company members. So there is still plenty of room left if you want to get in on our Spartan Company. So please check that out if you're interested. Standard outro time. Make sure you check out the podcast network. It is a conglomerate of gaming podcasts, which includes the likes of Critzcast, which is a TF2 podcast, Guardian Radio, which is a Destiny podcast, The Learning Cliff, which is an EVE Online podcast, and then two other podcasts to kind of fill in your time. If you're looking for other gaming podcasts just that are good quality, that are nice to listen to, they're great listens, or if you're interested in any one of those games that they cover, then definitely check them out. And I should clarify, Critzcast is TF2/Overwatch podcast. So definitely check them out if you're interested, and let them know that we sent you. You can also check us out on social networks. We are on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, and basically if we have it, if you do Podtacular/whatever, we have it. So, but we mostly post stuff on Twitter whenever we have little updates, or we're kind of announcing stuff for game nights or trying to get stuff together. We're usually focusing that on Twitter, so make sure you're following there. That's kind of our main outlet to people. And next week, again, like I said, we're going to have the community cartographers. These are the folks that actually went to 343 before Halo 5 launched and actually got their hands on with Forge, helped craft Forge, helped change some of the Forge mechanics, and made or had their input into the big team maps that you're now playing in Halo 5 Guardians. So we're going to get their input on kind of their experience with their time at 343, kind of their input to the map, but the main focus is going to be on the Forge system at large. So if you have any questions that you would like us to ask, please hit us up on Twitter, Facebook, send us an email, send us a voice message, whatever you want to do it. That way, we would really appreciate your questions to help flesh out that podcast. And in addition to Twitter and Facebook, you can email us by doing or sending an email to submissions@podtacular.com, or you can hit the big green submit button on our website. And if you want to leave us a voicemail, you can call us at 240-200-HALO. And this can be anything. If you want to talk about Forge for next week, then great. If not, anything kind of funny Halo related, we would love to hear from you guys. And we are looking to do some more feature stuff. Next week we'll be turning to our regular schedule for doing Machinima Mondays, Screenshot Wednesdays, and we're going to try to get our feature for a custom map of the week. And with that kind of level of content, I think right now we're going to focus on maybe doing a monthly top 10 for people that are in our Spartan company. So if you take a clip in Halo 5, and if it's up on your game clips on your Xbox profile, then we're going to see if we can have enough of those get generated from the Spartan company to pull those and put them into a little montage for the month. So that's kind of what you can expect for us in this month as we enter in 2016. Thanks everyone for tuning in. We will see you guys next week, and until then, keep on fragging New Year's.